RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. The U.S. ambassador apologizes for inconvenience to Indonesian military chief. The commemoration of National Santri Day to strengthen the Muslims' commitment toward the Indonesian unity. Now, the news in detail. The United States ambassador to Indonesia, Joseph Donovan, has apologized to the Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi for any inconvenience regarding a report of Chief of the Indonesian Armed Forces TNI, General TNI Gatot Nurmantio, who is being refused to enter the U.S. territory. The U.S. ambassador offered the apology in a statement released by the U.S. Embassy on its official website on Sunday. U.S. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Joseph Dunford Jr., invited Nurmantio to attend a Chiefs of Defense Conference on Countering Violent Extremism being held on October 23 to 24 in Washington, D.C. However, General Nurmantio was reported to be halted by the U.S. Customs and Border Protection before boarding to a commercial flight in Soekarno-Hatta International Airport of Jakarta on Saturday. It was reported that General Nurmantio and his delegation was not allowed to enter U.S. territory by the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The U.S. Embassy was in touch with the General Staff about this matter throughout the weekend, working to facilitate his travel. The U.S. Embassy remained committed to strategic partnership with Indonesia as a way to deliver security and prosperity to both nations and peoples. Secretary General of Nahdlatul Ulama NU Marsudi Suhud, in the commemoration of National Santri Day at Monas Square, Jakarta on Saturday, said that the National Santri Day should be a strong commitment of Indonesian Muslims in order to foster a sense of love toward Indonesia's nationalism. Marsudi Suhud also said Indonesian Muslims must unite to maintain the unity of Indonesia.
Diperingatinya Hari Santri adalah untuk mengukuhkan kembali komitmen umat Islam.
The commemoration of National Santri Day is aimed to reaffirm the commitment of Indonesian Muslims to the unity of Indonesian people. The inauguration of national commitment is very important to build the spirit of nationalism to be connected continuously.
In addition, Marsudi Suhud explained that the commemoration of the National Santri Day also become a momentum for Muslims to express the pledge of nationality. Marsudi said, "The pledge contains a foundation to maintain Pancasila as the state ideology and the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. The pledge also contains to reject all forms of radicalism or terrorism and to fight against all forms of threats that can potentially to divide the country." the special branch of Nahdlatul Ulama in cooperation with the Sunan Wali Songo Study organized a commemoration of National Santri Day that took place in Cairo, Egypt, Sunday night, October 22nd. Besides, attended by hundreds of Indonesian students in Egypt, the third commemoration of the National Santri Day was attended by the Indonesian ambassador in Cairo, Helmi Fauzi, along with the staffs. Ambassador Helmi Fauzi said, "The commemoration of the National Santri Day is not only celebrated ceremonially, but also became a momentum for Santri both at home and abroad to answer various global challenges." According to him, the challenge is related to all sectors of life, especially in connection with the current situation, such as participating in revitalizing the populous economy, cultivating the national economic independence, and preventing a variety of narration which contrary to the spirit of Islam teach by Islamic figures.
Bagaimana santri-santri muda sekarang ini memiliki akses
How the young santri have access to knowledge education that is much better than our predecessors. How they can be the leader in innovating and revitalizing our populous economy and restoring the role of pesantren as an epicentrum of economic activities that empower the activities of rural communities. Helmi Fauzi added that it is no less important for santri, especially those who study at Al-Azhar University, Cairo, Egypt, to stay in line with Azhar's teachings of spreading moderate Islam. One of the santri, Muhammad Falih, said, "As a generation that also has a contribution to the development of the nation, santri are required to be able to realize that the roles and duties are not only about religion. However, they also have a role to address issues in the cultural, political, and social sectors." Indonesian Islamic students or santri of Nahdlatul Ulama Special Branch in Egypt carried the theme Reflection in Art and Culture to commemorate the National Santri Day. Chairman of NU Tanfidziah Board in Egypt, Ilman M. Abdul Haq, said the theme Reflection was translated into art and cultural performances. Ilman explained that the selection of art and cultural performances in the commemoration of National Santri Day in Cairo is to show that religion is not merely about worship, but also to implement it into goodness, while art and culture become part of it. Various activities have begun to celebrate National Santri Day. One of them is Al-Quran memorizing contest, followed by 30 participants from various Islamic organizations and kinship in Cairo.
Agama bagi saya tidak hanya menyoal.
Religion for me is not only about the rites of worship or primary texts. It is more extensive than that. We also reach the spheres of culture, art, literature. Why we do art if it's not for the goodness? Meanwhile, religion carries the mission for the common good.
Ilman M. Abdul Haq stated further that on the National Santri Day, the NU branch Cairo also expected that all santri in Egypt can interpret the day as a passion to learn diligently in order to pass on time. The stipulation of the National Santri Day dated October 23. Second, is stated in the Presidential Decree No. 22/2015. The history noted that on October 22, 1945, the students or santri and scholars of Islamic boarding schools from various parts of Indonesia required every Muslim to defend the homeland and defend the independence of Republic of Indonesia from invaders. It showed that scholars and santri played a big role in fighting for independence of Indonesia and defended the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Bilik Sastra, in English, the Literature Room, is one of the weekly programs broadcast by RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia every Saturday through streaming in indonesia.rriworldservice.com. The literary works of Indonesian writers living abroad are read and appreciated and included in the annual competition of Bilik Sastra VOI Award. This year, Bilik Sastra VOI Award 2017 is again organized by RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the theme Existence of Overseas Literature, Knitting Dreams in Foreign Country. The event was held over the weekend at Yusuf Ronodipuro Auditorium, RRI Jakarta. Head of the Language Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia, Dadang Sunendar, as one of the speakers in a talk show with the winners of Bilik Sastra VOI Award 2017, stated that the Indonesian writers abroad had contributed to the country, especially in the field of literature.
Mereka itu para pejuang negara ya. Mereka menjadi memberikan devisa atau bantuan kepada negara kita itu. Setelah bantuan itu mereka masih membuat karya-karya sastra, dalam hal ini dalam bentuk cerpen, yang dengan sendirinya tentu saja memberikan bantuan kepada kita tentang tambahan bahan literasi untuk masyarakat ya, dan ini yang memang dibutuhkan oleh bangsa ini. Ini akan semakin mendorong anak muda di dalam negeri maupun di luar negeri ya, untuk bisa mencontoh mereka lah. Mari kita membaca, mari kita menulis agar bangsa ini terutama anak-anak mudanya bisa semakin maju dan bisa berkompetisi dengan bangsa yang lainnya.
This year's Bilik Sastra VOI Award has nominated 23 short stories which have been broadcasted since July 2016 until July 2017. The short stories were selected to choose three best short stories to win the Bilik Sastra VOI Award 2017. The three winners are Nila Noviana or Kaka Klerni, a migrant worker in Hong Kong with a short story entitled Aku Mengira Ada Surga di Formosa, or I Think There is Heaven in Formosa. Raida Atira, a diaspora in Poland, with a short story entitled Kenangan, Cinta dan Sejarah di Kota Tua, or Memories, Love and History in the Old City. And Etal Nurhalima, or Eti Dialova, migrant worker and student in Taiwan, with a short story entitled Impianku, or My Dream. Indonesia secured the last gold medal in the World Junior Badminton World Championships WJC 2017 after winning the women's singles final at Among Rogo Sport Arena, Yogyakarta. Indonesian women's single Gregoria Mariska Tunjung defeated Chinese women's single Han Yu with a score 21-13, 13-21 and 24-22. Gregoria got a tight fight in the third set, but finally managed to come out as the champion after being held up to three doses. Gregoria said that she had applied a fast-paced pattern that managed to defeat the opponent.
Di set pertama saya di situ masih megang permainan ya daripada dia soalnya.
In the first set, I still dominated the game because I played fast-paced pattern followed by my opponent. In the second set, she started to play that slowed me down. In the third set, I just concentrated to win the game. Moreover, I played before Indonesian fans and as the host. Then I was grateful could be the champion.
With a gold medal in the women's singles, Indonesia won two gold medals, two silvers and one bronze in the individual doubles. Another gold medal was won by Rinov Rivaldi pairing with Pita Haningtyas Mentari, who defeated their compatriot Rehan Novel, Gus Haryanto and Siti Fadia Silva Ramadanti, who also donated silver medals to Indonesia. Other silver medals were won by women doubles pairs Jusa Fadila Sugiarto and Ripka Sugiarto, who must recognize the superiority of Korean pairs Hannah Baek and Jurim Lee, while bronze medals were donated by men doubles players pairs Rinov Rivaldi and Jeremiah Jacob. The last item, the Permanent Delegation Office of the Republic of Indonesia for the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization UNESCO in Paris, France, presented the result of Indonesia's assistance to UNESCO in the form of 8 projects financed by the Indonesia Funds in Trust. Ambassador and Deputy of Permanent Representative of Indonesia for UNESCO, TB Fauzi Sulaiman, told Antara News on Sunday that the Indonesia Funds in Trust program is part of Indonesia's contribution to overcome UNESCO's financial difficulties as the United States halt the payment of its country's contribution since Palestine was accepted as a member of UNESCO in 2011. On that occasion, Fauzi Sulaiman delivered the commitment of Indonesia to participate actively in the implementation of the UNESCO program and continue to foster cooperation with UNESCO. Listener to Andy News, here are the headlines once again. The United States ambassador apologizes for inconvenience to Indonesian military chief. The commemoration of National Santri Day to strengthen the Muslims' commitment toward the Indonesian unity. Listener, that was the news.
Hello, listeners. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of commentary today is The Rules of Santri and Islamic Scholars in Defending the State. Since 2015, the Indonesian government has set October 22nd as the Day of Santri. Santri in general is someone who attends Islamic religious education at Islamic traditional boarding schools. The commemoration of the day started from a meeting of representatives of several Islamic organizations, historians, and experts of Islam in Bogor, West Java on April 22, 2015. The main topic of the discussion at the time was to discuss when the Day of Santri had to be set. The two-day meeting was a direct order from President Joko Widodo to Minister of Religious Affairs, Lukman Hakim Saifuddin. Various thoughts emerged in the meeting, such as the day would create exclusiveness because it was likely that other groups outside the Santri would demand similar things. However, the thought was baseless because what should be emphasized is the important role of Santri or the Islamic boarding school students in the Indonesian history, especially in fighting for and maintaining Indonesian independence. From a series of thoughts, October 22nd was then proposed to be the Day of Santri. History recorded that on October 22, 1945, the founder of the largest Islamic organization, Nahdlatul Ulama NU, Kiai Haji Hasyim Asy'ari, issued a jihad resolution to fight for defending the Indonesian independence from the Dutch who wanted to reoccupy Indonesia. The content of the jihad resolution confirmed that the law of defending the country is a fardhu ain or individual obligation for every Muslim in Indonesia. The role of students is clearly inseparable from the struggle of the Indonesian nation, both pre-independence and post-independence. Then the Santri Day was said to be commemorated nationally through Presidential Decree No. 22, 2015. The government's decision to set October 22nd as National Santri Day is the right decision. It is not to create exclusiveness but to affirm that role of Santri and Ulama Islamic scholars in maintaining independence is enormous. Hopefully, the Santri is not merely a ceremonial event. Indonesia still needs the greater roles of Santri and Islamic scholar for the betterment of the nation and the state. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listeners. Nice to be joined in our daily program Today in History over Air Revolution Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. While we begin our program with an event that happened October 23, 1941, when Georgi Sukov took over the leadership of Red Army to hold German troops to Russia. Georgi Konstantinovich Sukov was a military commander of the Soviet Union, a politician, and one of the most famous generals to his great service in the World War II. In 1915, he served conscription in the Russian Imperial Army. During World War I, Sukov was awarded a two-times Saint George Cross Awards Medal and was promoted to non-commissioned officer position for his bravery on the battlefield in the World War II. After the German invasion of the Soviet Union in June 1941, Sukov was not afraid to express disapproval or criticism to Stalin and other top leader officers. As a result, he was removed from his post and sent to the Leningrad Military District to arrange the defense of the city. He managed to repay the pace of German troops' movement in the south of Leningrad in the fall of 1941. On October 23, 1941, as the Nazi army approached Moscow, Sukov replaced Marshal Semyon Timoshenko's position to lead the troops on the central front and was appointed to organize the defense of the city of Moscow. He was also the one who arranged the dispatch of troops from Siberia, where there were massive Soviet army troops. The successful Soviet counterattack in December 1941 succeeded in destroying German groups and alienating them from the Soviet capital. At the time, Sukov was greatly appreciated by Stalin for all his successes on the battlefield, as well as for his honesty and openness in his opinion. Stalin's willingness to accept criticism and opinions from the Red Army generals was certainly a small contribution so that he and the Soviet Union could win World War II. In contrast to Hitler, who opened silence and dismissed generals who dared to protest his plans and became a weakness of Hitler. The next event was in 2002 about the Moscow Theater Hostage Crisis. The Moscow Theater Hostage Crisis, also known as the 2002 North Pole Siege, was the seizure of the crowded Dubrovka Theater by 40 to 50 armed Chechens on 23 October 2002 that involved 850 hostages and ended with the death of at least 170 people. The attackers, led by Mossad Barift, claimed allegiance to the Islamist militant separatist movement in Chechnya. They demanded the withdrawal of Russian forces from Chechnya and end to the Second Chechen War. And the last event was in 2004 when the Chechu earthquake occurred. The Chechu earthquake occurred in Niigata Prefecture, Japan on October 23, 2004. The Japan Meteorology Agency (JMA) named it the Heisei 16 Niigata Prefecture Chechu earthquake. Niigata Prefecture is located in the Hokuriku region of Honshu, the largest island of Japan. The initial earthquake had a magnitude of 6.6 and caused noticeable shaking across almost half of the Honshu, including parts of Tohoku, Hokuriku, Chubu, and Kanto regions. Well, listener, that was Today in History over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listeners, nice to be with you again in our regular program, Focus. The theme of today's Focus is Indonesia has succeeded in encouraging fishermen protection at WTO. Indonesia, along with several other countries, succeeded in pushing a step forward for protection of small fishermen in negotiation at the World Trade Organization WTO in Geneva recently. A press statement of Indonesian permanent representative in Geneva on Friday, October 20, 2017, stated that a number of proposals were submitted by seven WTO members who wanted the promotion of fisheries subsidy this evening. They have produced a single text. It contains the elements of discipline that will be the basis of negotiation by all WTO members. After 10-year negotiation process at WTO, Indonesia, along with other proponents, successfully introduced a text which will be the basis of negotiation at WTO. The text is an important progress that needs to be followed concretely in the negotiation process up to the 11th WTO Ministerial Conference. With the text, all WTO members are expected to contribute more concretely in the process of negotiating the issue of fisheries subsidies within the framework of the WTO Ministerial Conference in Buenos Aires, Argentina, on 10th until 13th December 2017. Some important elements in the text of concern to WTO members include opening, definition scope, prohibited subsidies, impasse, special and differential treatment, transparency, transitional provisions, and institutional arrangements. The Indonesian delegation plays an important role in the establishment of such discipline since the instrument produced from the text will be binding on all WTO members. The prohibition of the fishery subsidy is seen as an effective way to combat illegal, unreported, and unlicensed fishing, overfishing, and overcapacity. This is certainly in line with the zero-tolerance policy of illegal, unreported, and unlicensed fishing that is put forward by Indonesia. However, considering the regulation of the prohibited scope of subsidies, Indonesia needs to ensure that subsidized flexibility for developing country members, including Indonesia, can still be provided. It aims to provide a protection to small fishermen who perform artisanal and small-scale fishing activities. To the end, Indonesia needs to make sure that the key elements of Indonesian proposal are included in the single text. In the WTO negotiation on fisheries subsidies, Indonesia is represented by delegates from Permanent Representative of Republic of Indonesia in Geneva. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. The United States Ambassador to Indonesia, Joseph Donovan, has apologized to Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi for any inconvenience regarding a report of Chief of the Indonesian Armed Forces, TNI, General TNI Gatot Nurmantio, who is being refused to enter the U.S. territory. The U.S. Ambassador offered the apology in a statement released by the U.S. Embassy on its official website on Sunday. Secretary General of Nahdlatul Ulama NU Marsudi Suhud, in the commemoration of the National Santri Day at Monas Square, Jakarta on Saturday, said that the National Santri Day should be a strong commitment of Indonesian Muslims in order to foster a sense of love toward Indonesia's nationalism. The special branch of Nahdlatul Ulama, in cooperation with the Sunan Wali Songo Study, organized a commemoration of National Santri Day that took place in Cairo, Egypt on Sunday night, October 22. Besides attended by hundreds of Indonesian students in Egypt, the third commemoration of the National Santri Day was attended by the Indonesian ambassador in Cairo, Helmi Fauzi, along with the staffs. Indonesian Islamic students or Santri of Nahdlatul Ulama Special Branch in Egypt carried the theme Reflection in Art and Culture to commemorate the National Santri Day. Chairman of NU Tanfidziah Board in Egypt, Ilman M. Abdul Haq, said the theme Reflection was translated into art and cultural performances. The selection of art and cultural performances in the commemoration of National Santri Day in Cairo is to show that religion is not merely about worship, but also to implement it into goodness, while art and culture become part of it. Bilik Sastra in English, the Literature Room, is one of the weekly programs broadcast by RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia every Saturday through streaming in indonesia.rriworldservice.com.
The literary works of Indonesian writers living abroad are read and appreciated and included in the annual competition of Bilik Sastra VOI Award. This year, Bilik Sastra VOI Award 2017 is again organized by RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the theme Existence of Overseas Literature, Knitting Dreams in Foreign Country. The event was held over the weekend at Yusufrono Dipuro Auditorium, RRI Jakarta. Indonesia secured the last gold medal in the World Junior Badminton World Championships 2017 after winning the women's singles final at Among Rogo Sport Arena, Yogyakarta. The Permanent Delegation Office of the Republic of Indonesia for the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization UNESCO in Paris, France, presented the result of Indonesia's assistance to UNESCO in the form of aid projects financed by the Indonesia Funds in Trust. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit North Sulawesi Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, if you visit North Sulawesi and love adrenaline sport, this makes you sure to come to Nimanga River for rafting at the river. The river is located at Timbukar Village, Sonder Sub-District, Minahasa Regency. The distance of this tourism object from Manado City, the capital city of North Sulawesi, is around 30 kilometers. You can use land transportation. Interestingly, you can enjoy not only rafting at Nimanga River, but also the beauty of nature of surrounding area. Listeners, for rafting at Nimanga River, you must go to Timbukar Village. To go to the village is through hamlet, which consists of Minahasa traditional houses, state houses or houses with two floors from wood. Besides hamlet, you will also be through durian and clove plantation. Over there are some rafting operators. Nimanga Rivers come from many water springs so that the water flow never subsides. Only on rainy seasons you have to be careful because water debit will be more. The length of rafting at Nimanga River reaches 12 kilometers and takes time within 2.5 hours. For rafting, you will be charged 150,000 until 200,000 per person. Listeners, before rafting at Nimanga River, visitors are asked to wear life jacket and helmet. The characteristic of the rapids at the river is 3 until 4 levels. If rainy season, it is around 5 and 6 levels. Although the difficulty level is quite high, the river is safe for rafting because you can enjoy flat water, so if the boat is upside down, rescue effort is easy to be held. There are many rapids at Nimanga River. The most famous one is Golden Gate, which is the first big rapid. The rapid is sized by high cliff. Besides, there is a very challenging rapid, namely the Ram Goodbye. The rapid reaches 4 meters high with high difficulty level. The rafting will end at Tangkuni Village, South Minahasa. Listeners, while rafting, you will see shade trees at forest area and also plantation which cover the Manga River. And there are also many birds which stop at the river to drink or to perch on the tree. The river area has fresh and cool air. Around the Manga area, there is flat land which can be used for you to set the tent and also stay at night. That was Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is Ramalan Cuaca di Jakarta, or in English, Weather Forecast in Jakarta. Stay tuned. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Ramalan cuaca. Ramalan cuaca. In English, weather forecast. Membawa. Membawa. In English, to bring. Payung. Payung. In English, umbrella. Lupa. Lupa. In English, to forget. Mengapa. Mengapa. In English, why. Sekarang, sekarang, in English, now. Hujan, hujan, in English, rain. Pagi, pagi, in English, morning. Keluar, keluar, in English, exit. Rumah, rumah, in English, home. Cerah, cerah, in English, bright. Menurut, menurut, in English, according to. Ramalan cuaca. Ramalan cuaca in English, weather forecast. Sore hari, sore hari in English, afternoon. Malam hari in English, evening. Akhir-akhir ini in English, lately or recently. Pemanasan global in English, global warming. Saran. Saran, in English, suggestion. Next is a conversation about Ramalan Cuaca di Jakarta, or in English, weather forecast in Jakarta. As usual, I'll say every sentence loudly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Budi and Steve, at Budi's house. Budi, Steve, apakah kamu membawa payung? Steve, apakah kamu membawa payung? In English, Steve, do you bring umbrella? Steve, tidak. Tidak. In English, no, I don't. Saya lupa membawa payung. Saya lupa membawa payung. In English, I forgot to bring umbrella. Mengapa? Mengapa? In English, why? Budi, di luar sedang turun hujan. Di luar sedang turun hujan. In English, it is rain outside. Steve, tadi pagi, pada waktu saya keluar rumah, cuaca sangat cerah. Tadi pagi, pada waktu saya keluar rumah, cuaca sangat cerah. In English, when I left home in the morning, the weather was very bright. Budi, menurut ramalan cuaca, di Jakarta akan turun hujan pada sore dan malam hari. Menurut ramalan cuaca, di Jakarta akan turun hujan pada sore dan malam hari. In English, according to the weather forecast, there will be rain in Jakarta in the afternoon and evening. Steve, akhir-akhir ini cuaca sangat aneh. Akhir-akhir ini cuaca sangat aneh. In English, the weather could not be predicted lately. Mungkin karena pemanasan global. Mungkin karena pemanasan global. In English, it is probably due to global warming. Budi, betul. Betul. In English, right. Oleh karena itu, harus selalu membawa payung. Oleh karena itu, harus selalu membawa payung. In English, so we always have to bring umbrella. Walaupun cuaca cerah. Walaupun cuaca cerah. In English, even though on bright weather. Steve, baiklah, terima kasih sarannya. Baiklah, terima kasih sarannya. In English, alright, thank you for your suggestion. Was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until next week with other topics. Sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present Indonesian Kroncong songs to you. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Pulau Jawa by Keksi Mulyani. Happy listening. Thank you. The song Pulau Jawa or Java Island tells about the beauty and fertility of Java Island, one of 5 big islands in Indonesia. The song also tells about the people who live prosperous, safe, and peaceful. Well, it also describes the richness of Javanese art. It was a beautiful keroncong that was nicely sung by Keksi Mulyani. The melodious music accompaniment makes the song enjoyable to listen. Well, listener, coming up next, the song entitled Bhakti by Ismanto.
Yeah. ada bimbang lagi. Ini tujuan bagiku. Di alam bebas merdeka.
Listener, this song tells about love to the nation and the homeland. The old song which was composed in quite poetic words. The glory of the beloved country is the goal of all devotion. The song was nicely performed by Ismanto. The characteristic vocal of Ismanto makes this song pleasant to listen and can raise sense of nationalism. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Sedap Malam by Ismanto and Lili Bungaku by Juliana. Happy listening. See you and sampai jumpa. Thank you.
terang cuaca, langit biru, bintang berkilauan menghiasi alam permai malam sunyi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.